The goal of this podcast is to help us all align with the rhythm of the universe. As we recognize our place in the synergistic relationship that we have with all life, we become conscious co-creators of the world we live in. We become partners with life, working in unison to expand into a fuller expression and a richer experience for each and for all. It's been another active week, both above and below. The energy keeps building, and a variety of indicators all lead to a significant turning point. We are releasing old, outdated, and no longer helpful behaviors. We are releasing emotional wounds and conditioned thinking patterns, clearing space for the rapid and exciting and continuing up-leveling that is underway. So let's break down what's been going on this week. All right, started with the solar eclipse on Tuesday. New moon, solar eclipse, Tuesday, February 17th at 28 degrees of Aquarius. You know, right at that tail end of the sun being in Aquarius. It actually went into Pisces the very next day. Remember that a new moon sets the tone for the lunar cycle. It happens in the dark and is noted as a time of new beginnings, planting seeds, things like that. So with the new moon's placement in Aquarius, we are drawn toward a revolutionary future, one that is different than what has come before. This shifting energy will continue to build and activate through this lunar cycle's full moon, which will be coming up March 3rd. This will be a lunar eclipse, which will occur with the sun in Pisces and the moon in Virgo. Eclipses are recognized as a cosmic reboot, a reorientation. They typically come in pairs, and they are seen to be celestial events that evoke major changes and speak in general about the end of one set of circumstances and the beginning of another. Historically, they've had an ominous reputation, which I believe is a reflection of the fear that humanity has lived with for so long, and we don't have to stay there anymore. But they've been seen as a time when kings fall, and that certainly became evident as we heard of the rest of the former Prince Andrew of England. It will be interesting to see who and what is yet to fall. And we'll talk more about the impact of the second eclipse, March 3rd, in a future episode. But back to this eclipse that occurred this week, the solar eclipse on Tuesday. It occurred on the North Node. And when that happens, we are to look for new information coming in through the sign in which it occurs. In this case, it's Aquarius. The energy invites us to pay attention. What insights, ahas, and revelations come, not just on the day of the eclipse, but what is emerging now, even as we have been influenced by that cosmic event? What do we need to reconsider or broaden our perspective on? How can we think more out of the box? We need to get out of the box. And what do we need to recognize, learn, and understand about creating a world that holds space for the greater good? What does that even look like? How do we get there? And finally, what do we need to understand about ourselves as a collective, as one humanity? What new insight are we going to gain about that? So that was Tuesday. And Tuesday was also the first year of the fire horse in Chinese astrology. It makes me think of a line from a Cloud Cult song, "Giddy up, let's go." The energy brings the urge for movement, for speed, and getting somewhere. It's not the most patient, and so this may be a little bit difficult while we get our legs underneath us and figure out this new identity that we're stepping into. Tuesday was also the first night of Ramadan, which continues until March 19th, and I mean, that just has it concluding just before the sun enters Aries, just before spring equinox on March 20th. Ramadan is much like the Christian observation of Lent, which also began on Wednesday. Ramadan is a sacred month of fasting, prayer, charity, and essentially spiritual renewal. Muslims fast daily from dawn until sunset. The idea is that it reminds us that the soul's nourishment is just as vital as the body's, and we make room for that. On Wednesday, again, Lent began on Wednesday, and on that same Wednesday, just a day after the eclipse and all these other things, the sun entered Pisces, holding a place for the emergence of a new sense of divine truth and consciousness. There's a lot of words there. Divine truth and consciousness, bringing it to life, having this sacred awareness or the sense of the sacred more manifest, more apparent in daily human life. Joining the sun in Pisces to help us carry more of this mystery into our identity, our Pallas Athene, our greatest wisdom, and the North Node, which is the direction that we are called to. Both of those, Pallas Athene and North Node, are at 8 degrees Aries. Venus, our feminine energy, and our sense of justice, is at 12 degrees, and Mercury, our connection point, the messenger between the gods and the underworld, or I suppose we could say the messenger between heaven and hell, is at 19 degrees of Pisces. And then yesterday, Friday, February 20th, came the conjunction of Saturn and Neptune that people have been talking about for some time at 0 degrees Aries. Though Saturn and Neptune come together every 30 years or so, they have not come together at the zero Aries point. From what I've been able to gather since around 593 BC. So this is a meeting that reflects and solidifies a new sense of who we are. All of these events weave together to reflect a common theme. Collectively, if we are up-leveling, who are we as a greater humanity, and what does that look like? Individually, we have to dig a bit deeper into our essential truth, because of course we are what make up the greater humanity. So on an individual level, we have to get down to greater understanding of our essence. What do I stand for? Does my inner being and my outer expression live in congruence? Do I live with conscious awareness of the spark of the divine, whatever that means to you, in this body? Am I aware in some kind of way, shape, or form that I have power, creative power, that I have some kind of divine expression that I carry in my being through this body? I want to point out that these powerful convergences are not just a one and done. You know, the exact connection at 0 degrees Aries was yesterday, Friday. And yet Saturn and Neptune have been in relationship for some time, well over a year, I believe. And they will continue for some time as we step into this new identity. They'll move together, work together, move forward, move backward, do this little dance. And working in tandem, they allow for a harmonizing that is imaginative, compassionate and expansive, and yet is solid, foundational, and enduring. As humanity, we are a work in progress. We continue in our evolution. In leaving Pisces, Saturn and Neptune cross the line of the horizon on our astrological wheel, coming into this place of Aries. This line is known as the ascendant. It is our rising sign. As we step up another rung of the ascension ladder, Jacob's ladder, some evolutionary ladder, we are showing up, we're prompted to show up in an upgraded form. So this is humanity version, 6 million.0? On the natural astrological wheel representing this pathway of humanity, this line is spring equinox. And it occurs at 0 degrees of Aries. It is a base point of newness, a point of appearance, a rebirth, as we come forth in a different version of our complex and miraculous beingness. Aries is the sign of emergence. It's where we come forth and show up as I, individual identity. It's about the individual. It defines the I am of our passions, drives, and motivations. It speaks to what we stand for, protect, and embody. As Aries is the first house of emergence, it is important to remember that, like all newborns, we need to settle into our body. We need to find steady legs and grow into the fullness of beingness. We will have some growing pains because this is new territory. We have things to explore and to figure out. Old systems will no longer work, and the way they've always been will be no more. So we got to figure out new ways. We need to discover new ways of doing things. We need to get outside the box. We need courage and a willingness to move forward into the unknown. It's exciting to think about and important to allow ourselves the excitement of new possibility. Things can change for the better. In fact, the universe is saying, be patient, have courage, trust in this evolutionary process that always leans toward good. I think it's a quote that came from Martin Luther King. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And while the energetic art of the moral universe may prompt us forward, the expression of that justice, its manifestation, the way it shows up, happens through us, not to us. Each of us, as a cell in this greater whole called humanity, is contributing to that bend, one way or another. I have to ask, are you bending forward, or are you among those who are bending over? A soul quality associated with Aries energy is enthusiasm, awareness of the divine within. As Neptune, the archetypal energy associated with the divine, the great mystery, each person is invited to bring forth the great spark of God within. It is important to note that these powerful cosmic placements don't just hit us when they're exact, and then their influence is gone. I mentioned this earlier. Their interactions move through time and space, creating an ongoing story, influencing this greater story as they continue to adjust and shift positions. Saturn and Neptune have been in relationship, and they will continue to hold space together through the first half of this year. Saturn, as the faster mover of the two, will then move beyond and out of this impactful conjunction range it's had with Neptune. And yet while they sit together and we step into this new spiritualized self, here's some things that you may experience. You may experience greater sensitivity to energy, to sounds, to foods, to emotion. You may just feel everything more acutely. And, of course, more sensitized can also be touchy, dramatic, and overwhelmed. Or it can go to depressed and fatalistic. So take good care of yourself. Learn what negatively impacts you and make changes to accommodate what you need as this all moves forward. You may experience mood waves. Allow the emotions that come. Just be with them, sit with them a minute, let them know you hear them, and then they pass, let them pass. Through both the bad news days and the best days, learn to ride the waves with resiliency and conscious self-care, and maybe even a little more faith. Through this process, your spiritual eyes are opening. You may enjoy a more active dream life. Allow yourself to daydream and imagine. Turn up the color and vibrancy of your life. Open to insight and inspiration. Your intuitive sense may have sharpened, may be continuing to sharpen. Allow yourself to tune in. You know, experiment with it, get to know it. Build trust in this powerful guidance system that you have, each one of us has. You may experience an expanding curiosity and or longing for a deeper connection with something greater, love, God, nature, divine, great mystery. This is a time to expand your spiritual practices, to open up time and space for contemplation and meditation, and quiet and silence. As we rise in consciousness, we are able to resonate more completely with the frequency of higher worlds. Our understanding and relationship with this vibration strengthens as a result, and so we can tune in better. It's a great opportunity to receive higher guidance. You may find yourself just feeling more deeply as your sense of empathy expands. It will broaden your understanding of suffering as you literally share in the pain of the wounded and the needy. Allow the tears. Do what you can to minimize suffering in your own little corner of the world. You may also notice you have a connection with more, I guess I want to say, surprising signals. Messages and opportunities, synchronicities, you know, those fun little, you know, happenstance moments. Enjoy them. They're operating all around us. They're gifts of the universe that are right there for us to see and connect with. So let them remind you that universal energy works best with those who work with it. You know, bring forth the soul qualities of, you know, enthusiasm, beauty, universality, understanding, harmlessness, harmony, joy, and you will receive more of them. Watch where you are led. Watch where these signs and signals take you, and follow the path that lines up before you. The other universal energy I want to talk about this week is Lent. So Ash Wednesday was this past Wednesday, and it opened the Lentil season, the season that brings us up to Easter. So it's interesting in that Lent, like most traditional observations, have roots that go deeper than any one religious philosophy or culture. When we recognize these cross patterns, we can be curious about the deeper roots as they span continents and philosophies. Ash Wednesday begins the 40 days of Lent. It's less the Sundays. Think of it as 40 days of Lent that lead us to the rebirth, renewal that comes with the spring equinox. It's reflective of Jesus' time in the desert, 40 days from his journey to death and resurrection. And yet this spring equinox again occurs when the sun reaches 0 degrees Aries. Through the ritual of Ash Wednesday, we are reminded of our humanness. The sign of the cross, traditionally, is traced upon the forehead with the words, "Remember thou, O soul, that thy body is dust, and unto dust it shall return." The words are meant to help us, you know, release us from this identification that we take on of our mortal self, to help us recognize that we are that, and this body will go to dust, and yet there is a part of us that will renew and live on. It suggests that with the resurrection that comes with Easter, and again spring equinox, we are in actuality so much more, and we need to recognize that. We too can rise into new life. The forehead is a location of what's called the third eye, or the seat of intuition. It's associated with the pineal gland, one of the master glands of our endocrine system. The area of the third eye, which is recognized as the sixth chakra of our energy system, is found in the space between the eyebrows, and it's believed to be linked to perception, awareness, and spiritual communication. So I think it's just important to take a little time to look at the association here, you know, with the pineal gland, the third eye, and Lent, and awareness of our humanness. So here are some key details about how these are connected. So the pineal gland is really a small cone-shaped endocrine gland located in the deep center of the brain. It's positioned between the two hemispheres of the brain, which we think is they don't really link very easily. There's a partition between them, and we have to consciously work to link these two hemispheres of the brain. So we can now know that the pineal gland sits deep in the middle there between the two hemispheres. It's often called the third eye because of its structural, functional, and historical connection to light perception and intuition. It's believed that this is where intuition comes into our system, is through the third eye. It's related to our ability to take in and perceive and process light. Its function, so its primary role, is to produce, I mean, as we understand it physically, is to produce melatonin, which is a hormone that regulates the circadian rhythm, our sleep-wake cycle. And that, of course, is based on light and dark signals from the eye. Many spiritual traditions, Hinduism, theosophy, as I said, identify the pineal gland as the sixth chakra, and view it as a bridge between the physical and spiritual worlds. It represents inner wisdom and enlightenment. 17th century philosopher René Descartes famously labeled the pineal gland as the principal seat of the soul, believing it to be the point of interaction between the mind and the body. And since the pineal gland was the last of the endocrine glands to be discovered, and scientists still aren't fully aware of all its function, it's really been considered a mysterious organ. I think that's true of much of our endocrine system. We have much to learn. Dimethyltryptamine from the pineal gland is called the spirit molecule. It's linked to perception and is activated by energetic and magnetic frequency. This pineal gland, or spiritual third eye, is regarded as the gateway of spiritual life according to ancient concepts about the soul. Recently, modern neuroscience has proven that the pineal gland is not only the melatonin-secreting neuroendocrine organ, which controls the circadian rhythm, but it also has mystical and energetic associations with spirituality. We're learning new things all the time. It acts as a tremendous coordinator between molecular, hormonal, physiological, and chemical rhythmic orchestra in the system. Beyond its practice in Christian religious tradition, history traces this anointing of the third eye back to ancient times. In the Nordic pagan religion, placing ashes above one's brow was believed to ensure the protection of the Norse god Odin. This practice spread to Europe during the Vikings' conquest, and this laying on of ashes was done on Wednesday, the day named for Odin, Odin's Day. Interestingly enough, according to Wikipedia, one of Odin's names is Yig, spelled Y-G-G, not sure of the pronunciation. The same is Norse for the word ash. And this name, Yig, closely resembles the Vedic name Agni in pronunciation. So fascinating to me because we've named and labeled deep energetic truths in different languages and cultures, and when we look a little closer, we can see these threads of unity and a connection of wisdom across time and space and geography. The Norse practice, which has become known as Ash Wednesday, was itself drawn from the Vedic Indian religion. Ashes were believed to be the seeds of Agni, the Indian fire god. It is from this name that the Latin derived the word for fire, ignis. And it is from this root word that the English language got the words ignite, igneous, and ignition. Agni was said to have the authority to forgive sins. Ashes were also believed to be symbolic for the purifying blood of the Vedic god Shiva, which it is said had the power to cleanse sins. 40 days is a symbolic time period, signifying a period of purification and preparation. In the ancient mystery temples, Lent was always a significant time. not called Lent, but it was this time period, was a significant time, this preparation for the new life that comes with spring. So it was always focused in these mystery temples on soul searching, self-assessment, inner examination. Through this season, each individual is to prepare for the lessons and energies of the Easter events, to prepare to die to the old in order to be reborn in the new. In the Hebrew traditions, the biblical books of Job and Jonah were used as manuals on initiation and preparation during this time. So if you'd like to understand this more, they're worth taking a look at. Lent is not mentioned in the Bible. None of the apostles observed it. Nowhere that I could find are Christians commanded to keep it. It was not even officially practiced until nearly 1,000 years after Christ's resurrection. From a metaphysical, spiritual perspective, this period stands for a voluntary retreat from the world to prepare for our resurrection from false beliefs, erred thinking, and the denial of our innate divinity. We develop our will and our discipline and our strength to know who we are and what we're really about. So we're in this liminal space of the eclipse portal until March 3rd, the full moon of Pisces, when the second piece of this reboot takes form with a lunar eclipse. The sun will be at 12 degrees Pisces in opposition to the moon at 12 degrees Virgo, and we'll talk more about that piece in future conversations. In reality, all of this is prep time, leading us to a significant point of rebirth. We will see it in greater emergence with spring equinox on March 20th. And that will lead us to the new moon on April 1st, interestingly enough, April Fool's Day, followed by Easter Sunday, April 5th. Reflecting its pre-Christian roots, Easter is always the first Sunday after the first full moon after spring equinox. We are seeds, releasing ourselves from the dark, strengthening ourselves to stand forth in the light that comes with spring. I have come to embrace these weeks with the mindset of a disciple. With consciousness and self-discipline, I seek to strengthen my will, to live my truth more fully, and open my heart to a world that works together for global good. In my humble opinion, it's the way to survival and peace. While I don't ascribe to much religious dogma, I can hear the wisdom that sometimes rises through it. So I will close with these words from the Catholic sister, Joan Chittister. Lent is the time for trimming the soul and scrapping the sludge off a life turned slipshod. Lent is about exercising the control that enables us to say no to ourselves so that when life turns hard of its own accord, we have the stamina to say yes to its twists and turns with faith and hope. Lent is the time to make new efforts to be what we say we want to be. Until next time.
Oh my goodness gracious, beautiful oasis with that voice sweet as honey. Birdie in the air, nothing can compare. You're worth more than the whole world's money. Just to hear that sweet voice even brings the bees joy. Pour it on me warm, sweet honey. Every word you say, if you sing it in that way, yeah. Gray sky sunny. Ooh. sweet beginning. Oh, honey, won't you please keep singing? Sweet honey.